the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I went back yesterday, watched yesterday's show because I thought it was pretty profound. And when it was over, I realized it was, in fact, pretty profound, and glad I was able to do it. But I was struck this morning as I was coming down the steps again. I was struck this morning about how do I want to phrase this? I got some candy in my mouth here this morning. Bear with me. I was struck this morning about how much in a box we really are in our belief system. We believe so many things that really, if we were to trace back as to the origins of them, where they came from, why do we believe that? Traditions. Jesus told us, if you remember, Jesus went in and he flipped over the tables. He yelled at the Pharisees, the Sadducees. This wasn't the same event, I guess, but two different times, at least once he confronted them. He says, you teach us commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. I was kind of pondering that. How do you make the word of God of none effect? How's that even possible? That God's word would become powerless? Does it become powerless through vain deceit? Does it become powerless through lack of knowledge? Because Jesus said that, or the scripture says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They don't know, they don't understand. Jesus said, you've heard, but you're not understood. Making the word of God none effect. That's what they've done to us, you know. They've made the word of God. Jesus said that it'll be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. We're the salt of the earth. All power has been given to us, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And if he's with us always, even to the end of the age, why do we seem so powerless? Really, why do we? I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the scripture says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I think we've been fed a lot of junk. I think we believe a lot of junk. I think, sadly, your church, maybe you don't go to church anymore. If you do go to church, Would you consider your church a bastion of free thought and free ideas? Or is it a theology? How would I say this? It's a theology only zone.
It's a doctrine driven zone.
Thank you, Larry. Doctrine driven zone. You're only allowed to believe what the man standing in the pulpit believes, because he's the pastor, he's the shepherd, and it doesn't matter whether he believes something. Listen, you could go down the street. Or actually, you could walk across the street, and the pastor across the street doesn't agree with the other pastor. You do know that, don't you? In a lot of major cities, there's churches on all four corners, and they don't all agree the same thing, right? Yet we talk about the truth, and everyone's preaching the truth. And Oprah Winfrey gets in trouble because people said, because she likes to say, well, we all have our own truth. And we get mad, say, oh, no, there's only one truth. But really, she's right, isn't it? We do have our own truth. All of us do. We could get in a discussion about heaven and hell. Where do you go when you die? How do you get to heaven? We could get in a discussion about once saved, always saved. Is there a rapture? Is there not a rapture? When is the rapture? Is it pre-trib? Is it post? Is it mid? There's all kinds of things in the scriptures that we can get into and we argue over, yet we say we believe the truth. And Oprah said, your truth, and we get mad. When in fact, she's just actually calling us out for the situation we find ourselves in. Your truth. You shall know, does the Bible say you shall know your truth? And your truth, if you know it, shall set you free. No, it says you shall know the truth. There is the truth. There is one. I want to dive into that a little bit today because I was I was struck yesterday as I was watching the show and going through some things that were in some ways maybe in the, I'll be honest, sometimes the things that I say during the show are enlightening to me. As I say them, I get a revelation. Is it, you guys know what I'm saying? As a revelation comes to me as I say them. I said, oh, Lord, gee, I never thought of it that way. And I talked yesterday about my sheep hearing my voice and another voice they won't hear, and the fact that your phone goes off and you hear the Holy Spirit and believe it and trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. So I'm kind of going around the corner today because I want to dig into, I want to get away from politics and Kamala Harris and the culture and this. I want to get away from all that this morning. Is that okay? Can I just kind of shake all that off of me here this morning? I want to talk about something a little bit different here this morning as we get rolling. And man, there's so much we don't know, isn't there? So much we don't know. Can anybody out there really explain to us how artificial intelligence works? How does that really, really work? Do we really understand? How this is amazing. How can I right now be doing this show, and I go over here and I look, and there's a 214 area code, there's a 330 area code, there's a 419. Pardon me. Some of y'all, I watched yesterday's show, and I spent a lot of time looking around. I noticed that. And people say, what's he looking at? I got a computer here. I got a monitor here. I got a monitor there. I got a Bible here. I'm listening. I'm looking a lot of different. So I'm sorry if my actions are distracting to it. They're not trying to be. 614 area code. 128 area code. Is that 614 area code? Is that guy from yesterday, you think, Mike Keith? Is that guy that's in here yesterday? 828 area code. 843 area codes. 91. They're a lot of different places, right? How does that work? How does Brian Cunningham, Dale Soshin, how do you dial a phone? How do you get on a computer and all of a sudden we can talk like this? I don't know. Am I understanding it? Somebody does, but you know, maybe somebody could explain it. There's a lot that goes on I don't get. I don't understand. And I'm telling you that because we take it for granted. I don't even know how a cell phone works, other than mine's not working the way it should. I don't get it. Look at the names of the people. Some of you guys down here, I don't even know who you are. Some of you I do know. I know Rob Pugh and Roger and Rich and Porsche. Yeah, I know a lot of some of you don't even know. Don't even know where you are, how you found out, how you got here. See, there's so much we don't know. And no matter how much somebody would come on and try to explain it all to me, I wouldn't get it. Are you confused yet? I'm going somewhere. I'm not going to Kamala Harris, the culture. I'm not going to go there today. I was struck by last couple of days. Timeout. Anybody have anything for the good of the group before I get rolling here? Any announcements or anything other than Bob Evans and Tammy are having an event. We talked about that yesterday. Mike, did we get that up on the website yet? I think I saw that we did have that up on the website. All of you in maybe Northern Ohio and Pennsylvania and maybe even New York. Bob and Tammy are having an event at their house on, pardon me. Let me see. Is it up there, Mike? There it is. Yeah, there it is. Click on that. On the 29th, August 29th. In fact, Bob and Tammy are coming here today. We're going to do some cleanup work up at Sky High. But that's a great opportunity for some of you if you live in that area, part of Ohio or part of West Virginia, maybe Pennsylvania. Great opportunity to come down there, Lisbon, Ohio. I didn't talk much about that. The details are up there right now. So, you know, I know Bobby's having a huddle that same weekend down in Kentucky. But if you're up there in Pennsylvania and you don't want to go to Kentucky, come and join us at Bob and Tammy's place. Okay. Anything else? Any other new stuff? Any reflections from from what we discussed yesterday? Because I thought that was pretty heavy again yesterday. Peculiar people.
I kind of want to just piggyback a little bit off of what you started the show with, is when Jesus looked at him and says, you teach the doctrines of men, making the word of God null and void. This is what happened. This is what where he was saying was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they would take the Torah and they made the, You know, they wrote all their little books, just like when you go to a Christian bookstore, there's a little section of Bibles, and then there's this plethora of all these other teachings of what other people's doctrines are. You know, the thing is, then we get to this, we get so indoctrinated into this, this is the way it is. And it was crazy because last night I was reading out of Romans chapter 11 and verse 34 really just slapped it as we were entering in prayer at church. And it says, who is it that counsels the Lord? And that's what we do. We want to counsel the Lord. We want to tell him what part of his word is and what part of his word isn't. And that's exactly what we do. And then we ourselves make null the word of God, the power of his word.
Amen, Dale. Amen. He teaches us to pray for his will to be done. And then most of us, most of our prayer life is telling God how we think he should run things instead of accepting his will of knowing better than we know. We seem to think we know best what's best in our situation. I've come to the realization I don't.
You know what else we don't know? I found this out in my own family. I took, I think I shared with you back Memorial Day, maybe it was, took our grandchildren to my parents' grave. And it is really, really amazing how little all of us, I'm talking to everybody who's watching here right now, how very little you know about your ancestry. Some of you may know something, maybe about your grandparents, maybe about your great-grandparents. But very few people go much farther than that. Really, really don't know, don't really have any real understanding of our roots. And it's like, I see these people who have these big farms or ranches that have been in the family for generations. They say, I'll say, oh yeah, that they've owned that for, that's been that property forever. And try to go back in time and wonder what it was like when the original patriarch bought that property. What was it like? What did he go through? What kind of suffering and sacrifices did he have to make to originally possess that land? What took place? See, that's what the Bible's about, isn't it? It's about the possession of the land and how we all got here where we are. And I became really, really aware of how little I know about our spiritual ancestors. The guys I read about in the Bible, the Great Faith Hall of Fame, I don't really know much about them. Really don't. Nor do you. We know little certain things that happened in their lives, but David, the shepherd boy, was a real boy. He was really, really was a person. Really was. What did he go through? What were his experiences? I mean, I know things are written down in the Bible about him, but you know, if they were to write a Bible about your life, they'd certainly, first of all, they'd miss some things. Secondly, they'd misinterpret some things. And number three, certainly they wouldn't understand everything, right? And here we are thousands of years later, still trying to understand something that we don't even really understand. Am I making sense? I'm going somewhere. Trust me.
Yeah, you know what, Coach? It was interesting when I started to trace my roots back. And, you know, I'm French. My ancestors came from Canada. What I found was that the farther you go back, the more kids they had. And, you know, I found out that, you know, my answers, it wasn't unusual for them to have 11 or 12 kids.
Yeah, because they didn't have TVs and cell phones and all the stuff you have to buy for people today, too. They also didn't have public schools, did they? And they didn't have birth control, and they didn't have pornography, and right? They didn't. Where'd all this stuff come from? I'm going somewhere today. Going somewhere, and I'm trying to set the stage so that when we do go where I'm going, you're not going to think I'm a heretic. It's okay, isn't it, to come here and talk about some things we don't understand? Is it okay to do that, or do we have to believe what our Baptist pastors taught us? Do we have to? Are you a big enough boy? Big enough girl that you're able to look at something that maybe kind of goes against what your church always taught you? It's like, I remember I asked a guy one time, I said, are you a Christian? He says, I'm a Methodist. I was born a Methodist. So hey, there's your problem. Born a Methodist, huh? What do you as a Methodist, where do you differentiate from the Baptist, you know? Well, no, I don't know. Where does a Baptist differentiate with the Presbyterians? And most of it, I think, I'm not sure, most of it has to do with government type of governments, I think. I don't know. I don't even know. But 30,000 different denominations, who knows how many different type of unregistered churches or home churches or whatever you want to call them, how many they are. Every one of them claiming to believe the truth. Yes or no? Yeah. Well, hey, guys, there's either a rapture or there's not. You know, there is either speaking in tongues or there's not. There's either such thing as a baptism in the Holy Spirit or there's not. There is a demonic realm or there isn't. There is a heaven or there isn't. There is a hell or there isn't. There's no such thing as your own truth in those situations. That's why the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. But you got to walk.
Coach, let me go back to the beginning of the show and maybe stitch a couple of things together here. You know, you said Jesus went into the temple and threw over the tables and told them that they were operating and preaching and teaching in the doctrines of man and making of no effect the word of God. Well, the word of God, Jesus Christ, will never be of no effect to his, you know, things around him. However, they can be of no effect in individuals' lives because those individuals' lives reject the truth and adhere to a different truth. Like you said, there's all kinds of each person, you know, Oprah's right. Everybody has their own truth. And that's the problem because they're walking out their own walk instead of allowing Jesus to be the Lord of their life and direct their walk. Oprah's absolutely right. Everybody has their own truth.
I agree with that. I agree with that to a point. But see, again, it's the same until you get a revelation, a true deep understanding. Once you get that, it's hard to let go. The once saved, always saved. People talk about once saved being always saved. I say this. Maybe you weren't saved. I don't think it's possible. I cannot imagine. Maybe. I can't imagine me in the condition I'm in right now, backsliding. I can't even imagine what that would be. Well, I'm not saying by backsliding, I don't mean falling back into sin. I'm talking about walking away from the Christian. I can't. If I walk away from the Christian life, I was never saved, I think. I don't want to get into that debate. That's not the debate. I'm going to talk about something else today. Something kind of off the cuff, but it's really, really fascinating to me. I've been dabbling in it. And I'm going to start out with this question. Hey, Mike, we're going to be in Genesis 1 today. Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, no, that's 1 John in it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I've been asking myself two questions. I guess, and this is kind of what I want to dive in here today. When was the earth created? And can I say it this way? When was the physical realm created? And was the physical realm and were the physical realm and the natural realm, were the natural realm, the physical realm, see, feel, touch, water, were the physical realm and the spiritual realm created at the same time? In other words, was there a spiritual realm before the natural realm showed up? Because the scripture says, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was bohu and tohu, without form and void. And then he said, by the way, Where is God at this point? Because we think of God as, you know, one of the problems we have, really, we think of God as a physical person. God's with us. God's with us. No, well, he is. But God's not a physical person. He was in the incarnation of his son, Jesus. But where was God when he created the heaven and earth? And was he alone when he created the heaven and earth? And was there a world here before man showed up? Am I sounding heretical to you yet? Because I've been kind of fascinated about all this Greek mythology. Poseidon, Hercules, Hermes. They were just myths. Or were these, I don't know, were these members of a spiritual world before the earth was formed? Anybody got a comment on that? I'm going to take you somewhere this morning. Anybody?
I think the spiritual world and the physical world, the before there was any physical world, there was only one way. So they didn't have any separation. They didn't know separation. See, a blind person doesn't know what day and night difference is. So those people those spirit beings in those times, they didn't have any knowledge. There was no knowledge of the physical realm for that time.
So it's like a baby in a mother's womb. It has no knowledge. The baby in a mother's womb is aware of what's inside the mother's womb, but really not aware of anything else till the child's born. All of a sudden comes out, woo, out in this, wow, right? Which, by the way, that's what I think death is going to be like. I think when we die, we're going to pass into a new realm, just like when we were born. That we'll say, "Whoo, wow! I have no idea this existed because we're not able to touch it. We're not able to be part of it." And was the physical realm here first, or was the spirit realm here first? Have you ever thought about that? Am I the only one that thinks about that?
Well, my conclusion. I'm sorry, Coach.
No, go ahead. I'm walking this thing through, man.
I get it. Listen, brother, I think there's secondary truths, and then I believe there's absolute truths. And I'll leave that with the tongues and the different things. You know, those things have nothing in pertinence of my salvation. But when you say which was first, well, the spiritual or the natural, well, first, or the Gospel of John declares that Jesus said, "There cometh a day, even so is now, that they that worship the Father must worship in spirit and truth, because he is spirit." Therefore, if God was in the beginning creating whatever we want to think of the cosmos, he is spirit, and that was first. And when you see when there'll come a new heaven and then a new earth, the heavens are the first. And so that's just my conclusion. But it's not an absolutism. It's not, it doesn't, should not divide you, I, or anybody else. Because when Jesus identifies truth, he doesn't look at tongues and says, "And this is truth." Jesus says, "I am truth." And that's where things get cloudy. Because if we want to start once again, as I was going back to Romans chapter 11, 34, who counsels the Lord? Who is it that counsels the Lord? Trying to tell God who he is and the limitations and boxing him in. There's where the problem, because once we can say that, well, this is what I believe, that Jesus is a female or whatever, then we can identify that humans aren't really created in the image of God and in the belly of a womb.
But we're trying to give physical qualities to spiritual things. It's hard to do, right? Hey, Michael, pull up Genesis 1, because I got some good stuff I'm going to throw out on the table. So let's all be friends when this is over. I'm trying to see. I think this thing is much more vast than what we even believe it is. And if you get upset because I step on your theology, or somebody steps on your theology, then I would say your faith is weak. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. That is bohu and tohu. I'll get to that in a second. And darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of, and blah, 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 blah. And then we get down, and he says, let us create man, or I'm trying to find it, in our own image. 26, Jared. Mike, 26. God said, let us make man in our, and folks, that's plural. It's plural. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the, see, we're seeing a spiritual realm create a natural realm. Does anybody see that differently than me? We are seeing right before us in this Genesis story, a spiritual realm creating a natural realm. Yes or no? You don't have to agree. Yes. So what was in that spiritual realm? What was going on in that spiritual realm before we showed up? In the beginning, whenever that was, in the beginning of time? Well, what is the creation of time? Is Trump in here? Trump, I'm screaming for help here. In the beginning of time, what is time? How is time measured? What is time? In the beginning. So there had to be a beginning, but what caused a beginning? Because we know God was already here. It says that he was here. In the beginning, he created. He was already here. Was he here alone? Then what does it mean when they say, let's create us in our image? Well, we say, he said the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they all three were there. Okay, I buy that. What does this mean? In the beginning. So there was not a beginning, but there was also not a beginning, and God was already here. Was he not? Am I confusing you or making you think?
Dave.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it as that in the beginning is the beginning after the conflict between Satan and God.
So you believe in a spiritual realm before the creation of a natural realm. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's right, because there wasn't any need for a physical realm until the quote-unquote contest began.
Mm-hmm. And God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just paraphrasing now. This spiritual thing is getting out of control. You know, the council of God has a council. Do you guys know that? Do you know that? Mike, see if you can Google that. I should have had that ready. The council of God. Do you know God has a council? What? The council of God. Bible teaches about the divine council. There it is, Mike. Pull it up there. What is that? What is a divine council? Who is the divine? Well, phrase divine council comes primarily from Psalm 82, when God says it's taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of God, he holds judgment. The words of God, God's in the verse, is both Hebrew and Elohim. First stance must be singular because of the Hebrew grammar, the verb translated has taken his place as grammatically singular, while the second instance may be treated as plural since it preceded by in the midst of. The gods, Elohim, are called gods and sons of the Most High, the God of Israel, later in verse 6 of the same Psalm. These same sons of God are described being in God's council or assembly, located in the heavens, a spiritual realm of divine beings not on earth, Psalm 89:5. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithless assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? I'm getting goosebumps. God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all who are around him. The divine council said to meet with God to decide the fate of people and nations. For example, 1 Kings 22, 19-23, God allows the spirit members of his council to decide how his decree that Ahab must die will be carried out.
Coach, I highly recommend Louis Giglio's video is How Great Is Our God? talking about the expanses of the universe. Psalms 33, if I may, real quick. It says this, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and at the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the water of the seas together as a heap, and he laid up the deep of the storehouse. Let the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, and he make the devices of the people of none effect. Because you think about that, brother. He spoke. He is a star-breathing God. When we think, it's not twinkle, twinkle, little stars. Stars are massive, and when you compare them to the size of the earth, earth is but a drop. And brother, not only does he speak in those things, where he measures them, he tells them to stop and they stop. We have limited the power of this awesome God who the infinite of his knowledge, we haven't even scratched the surface.
Amen, Dale. I'm reading what I see right in front of me. It says, notice that the biblical text describes the members of the heavenly host as spirits. The Elohim of God's counsel are not people, nor are they idols. The counsel is in the skies. Idols do not work for God, nor does God work for with the idols and the evil, rebellious, divine beings people presumed were inhabiting idols. And though God consented to the council member's proposal, it is the Lord who said to be behind Ahab's death. God is the one who ultimately judges evil, right? So I got this Mark Trump. I've had this. I don't even know how long. And I did every couple of weeks, I would pull it out and I would look at it and I would ponder it. Mike, quickly, Mike. What is mythology? Mythology. I was blown away by this. I thought, well, mythology is stories of things that aren't true. What is mythology? And our buddy Mr. Webster says a system of fables or fabulous opinions and doctrines respecting the deities which heathen nations have supposed to preside over the world or to influence the affairs of men. See, mythology, folks, doesn't mean made up. We've been said, oh, that's a myth. That's made up. No, that's not what the word means. It's a system of fables or fabulous opinions and respecting the deities which heathen nations have supposed to preside over the world or to influence mythology has to do with the spiritual realm. Do you understand this? It has to do with the spiritual realm.
Hey, Coach. Why were we taught Greek mythology as a mandatory class in senior class in high school? Why taught Greek mythology? Why?
Why? Listen, guys, you know this, right? They've taught us that myth means untrue, a story, right? That's what a myth is, but it's not what a myth is. A myth is a system of fables or fabulous opinions and doctrines respecting the deities, which heathen nations have supposed to preside over the world or to influence the affairs of the world. In other words, the heathen nations believed in these deities. They believed in them. Who did the heathen nations? The heathen nations believed in the influence in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm. Again, in the spiritual realm. And when God called all of them together, could have been impossible that God looked out over everything and says, listen, this place is a bohu and tohu. This thing is without form. It's chaos. I'm going to make me a man. I'm going to bring some order to this thing. And he does. He creates man. He brings order. He creates things. The stars and the light and the sun and the moon and the waters and the shore. And he brings order out of disorder. It's what God does, by the way. And if he has to bring order, does that mean there was a period of time when there was no order? Did God just all of a sudden wake up one day and say, let's make some men today? Hey, boys, you want to make some men? Huh? Let's make him in our own image. No. He was creating, even at that time, an army of angels, an army of God. Why? To oppose this dark mythology of deities which other nations were being directed by. So I said that I've had this for maybe a year. Gods, Mike, it says gods from Trump. Gods from, we all studied this, right? In fact, we use their names in common parlance that we talk to one another about. The gods, the Greek gods, the mythological gods. Meaning what? Mythological meaning fake. Mike, did you click on it? Gods from Trump? Mythological. Made up, fake. No, that's not what the word says. It doesn't say that they're made up or fake. It's just some fables. What's a fable? Aesop's fables. Okay, so what do I do here? Because I can't. How do I? Do I know? Is there, I don't know. Is there a way I can share it? Okay, I'll read them to you off of my computer if you bear with me. But see, the teacher in me says, some of you are visual. Some of you need to see it. I'm sorry. Greek gods. Here's a complete list of Greek gods. Wow. Hey, folks.
That's a long time ago, Coach. That's a long time ago I sent you that.
Well, no, he's not. I said it was a long time. Saving it forever and ever for when the Lord prompted me to be able to talk about it. Okay, good. Put in GreekGodsAndGoddesses.net. GreekGodsAndGoddesses.net /gods. there you go. Thanks. That's it, Jared. Good. Now, folks, listen, hear me. I'm not trying to shake your theology. I'm just trying to get you to think. This thing is so much bigger than we understand. What if these Greek gods, what if they were in the spirit realm? What if this was a spiritual, was what was here first, the natural world or the spiritual world? Which was here first? So here's a complete list of Greek gods, their names and their realms of influence. Acheolus is the patron god of the silver swirling Acheolus River. Aeolus, the Greek god of the winds in the air. Aether, the primordial god of the upper air, light, the atmosphere, space, and heaven. Alastor, god of family feuds. Where's Richard Dawson? An avenger of evil deeds. There's Apollo, the Olympian god of music, poetry, art, oracles, archery, plagues, medicine, sun, light, knowledge. Ares, the god of war, represented the physical, violent, and untamed aspect of war. Erastius, minor patron god of animal husbandry, beekeeping, fruit trees. Got that, Stephanie? He was the son of Apollo. Asclepius, I can't even pronounce him, god of medicine. There's Atlas, the primordial titan of astronomy, condemned by Zeus to carry the world on his back after the Titans lost the war. Where was this war? What do you mean? This is all mythology. This is all made up. That's not what Webster said. Webster didn't say it was made up stuff. Attis is a minor god of vegetation, of fruits, and of the earth and rebirth. And Boreas. The wind god, Greek god of the cold north wind. And there's Ceres, minor god of opportunity. These go on and on and on. And there's Pan and Hades and Zeus and Hestia. Who made up these gods? And which came first, the natural realm or the spirit realm? And is it possible that all of this that we're seeing here is explaining what was going on in the spirit realm rather than before God created the heavens and the earth? I don't know. I don't know.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's just coincidental that out of the tens and tens of thousands of cuneiform tablets that have been found over in the Mideast, and you know, the Fertile Crescent, the Sumerian cuneiform text on the clay tablets, almost every Greek god, which came later, before, after the Sumerian cuneiform, almost every one of the gods that the Greeks identified and classified and put into a chart, et cetera, appear in the Sumerian cuneiform text.
So when the Lord said, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is it possible that there are others? That there were other kings? That there were other lords? Is there something far more, what's the word I'm looking for? Deeper, called a spiritual realm than we even understand in this little natural realm in which we live?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Real quick, there were 72 kings on Mount Hermon, but there was a third of the angels that fell. So out of the angels who fell, some of them were labeled as kings, and they met on Mount Hermon. Could these be the similar mythology-related kings?
And Mark, are we, folks, are we today in the United States of America still being influenced by these spirits? Now, these spirits aren't gods, but are these the divine? Are these,
Amen.
Are these the Psalm 2? Are these the Psalm 2? The kings of this earth conspire against the Lord and his anointed. Is these guys that we've called mythological beings, chaos? Do you see that? Chaos, the nothingness that all else sprung from. A God who filled the rivers, a God who filled the gap between heaven and earth and created the first beings, Gaia, Tartarus, Uranus, Nix, and Erebus. That was chaos. And is chaos still at work in the world today? Has he just changed names?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What I find is interesting is earlier you're mentioning, you know, in the beginning and brought, you know, order out of chaos. And we know that the counterfeiter always counterfeits. Mm-hmm. And what's the mantra? The new world order, order out of chaos.
Right. And it's not a new world order, is it? It's just an old order redone is all it is. It's not a new world
exactly.
order. Exactly. And look at this, Cronus. Cronus, the god of time. Not to be confused with Cronus, spelled differently. The Titan, father of Zeus. Folks, these aren't just, if you were going to make up gods, how would you do that? How would you just make up gods? And what happened to these gods? Where are these gods? Are these the kings of this earth that are still conspiring against the Lord and the anointed? Is this the guy?
Hey, Coach.
Let me throw one more out there. They're destroying history that you're reading, mythology. They're destroying it, except for these monuments. These monuments stay. These are the ones that get to live.
Amen. Go ahead, Alan.
The scariest thing about it, Coach, is Revelation chapter 9. The voice has been tied up in the heart of the earth. That's in 2 Peter chapter 2 and in Jude. They're going to be released, brother. And when they release, they only got but 5 months to do what they're going to do, and they know without a shadow of a doubt, for the rest of eternity, they're going to be in the lake of fire. That's why it's going to be so wicked on this earth, brother.
So, folks, again, the question I'm asking is this. Is this stuff that we've been taught as mythology made up? Is this really a window into the spiritual realm? Is this, when all this Greek mythology we're reading about, is it really just a definition or explanation of the world before there was really a world? In the beginning. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of what? See, without time, there was no beginning. There couldn't, the time measures, time is only in the natural realm. There was no time before the beginning.
There was Amen. No time. Amen, Coach.
Time is a creation of the natural world. The sun coming up, the sun going down, day, night, morning, evening, first day. There was none. There was no time. It's hard for us to conceive. No, it's hard for us to conceive. But God saw all the stuff going on with all these gods and all the chaos and everything. And he said, He said, I'm going to bring some order out of this chaos. You're right, Brian. Order out of chaos. That's a new world order, isn't it? Again, a mimicking of what God did. God saw all this disorder. He said, I'm going to bring some form to this thing. I'm going to shape this thing up a little bit here. All right. And I'm going to form me an earth. And I'm going to get I'm going to get all that chaos out of here. I'm going to get some structure. I'm going to get some order. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a man created in our own image on that thing. And he is going to keep this thing orderly. And we haven't done it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Joe.
I have always wondered about Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Did he mess it up? I wonder if there was something here before. And it says the earth was dark and void and covered with waters.
Without form, Joe. It says it was without form. Hey, Joseph, how can something created not have a form to it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And that's what it says? And the earth was without form and void. And that's where, if you get into the Greek, Jerry, you can't pull this up, I'm sure. Tohu and bohu. I don't know if you can. Just see if you can type that in there, Mike. Tohu, T-O-H-U, T-O-H-U, T-O-H-U. That's a Greek word for void. Tohu. It's a Greek word. And of course, we begin to see that now everybody copies those words, right? So you can't even find a biblical explanation for what tohu was now, because the demonic side is so taken part of it, right? Mike, see if you can put tohu and put bohu up there with it. See if that helps you. B-O-H-U. B-O-H-U. Tohu, bohu. What does Wikipedia say about tohu and bohu? Even though I don't trust it. Tohu and bohu is a biblical Hebrew phrase found in Genesis creation narrative that describes the condition of the earth immediately before the creation of light in Genesis 1. Numerous interpretations of this phrase are made by various theological sources. The King James Version translates tohu as without form and void, corresponding to unseen and unformed. So the earth was here, but it wasn't here. It was void and without form. And look, King James Version translates the words confusion and emptiness. The earth was full of confusion and emptiness. Why? Because all these Greek gods, all these spirit beings were running around and there was chaos. There was chaos to it. And God said, that's it, man. I'm going to bring some order. And he created. God created order in the midst of disorder. Wow.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
If you want to go deeper, you got to understand covenant. You need to teach a little bit on covenant, because this is where we're at. This is the premise you have to lay now. God, we're in the 7-day covenant. This is the covenant since the beginning of the earth that we know, we understand. But before this, it was called the Luciferian covenant. Now, then you start understanding a lot more of scripture when you understand Luciferian covenant, what happened, and this is what you're getting to. This is what we're going to. So to understand that, there's some good books. Mike Kaiser's really got some good writing on this, and other people. But this is peeling back the onion, Coach. I appreciate you doing it. Thank you,
Randy. I'm trying, because listen, I don't. I'm just asking the questions. I'm not here to change your theology. I don't care about that. But there's something about this we don't get. God said, Let us make man in our own image. So they were already here. And God, he made man in his own image, spiritually. And then he gave him a body to be in. Let's make man in our own image. He made man a spirit being. He looked like us in the spirit. Then he put us in a body to carry the spirit around in a natural realm. And so our body has separated us from the spirit realm where life really is. Life really is in the spirit realm. It's not here. We've invaded this natural realm. God created this natural realm, and he put us in human meat suits, as Stephanie would say. He put us in these so that we could impact the natural world. But we're spirit beings in a natural. God, we're so shallow. I think we're so shallow in our understanding.
Well, a lot of people understand virtual reality, where you put on goggles and you're in another world. See, that's another copycat, Coach.
Mm-hmm. So Mark, the copycat is, listen, don't miss this. The new world order. See, God already gave us an order. He already gave the world order.
Amen.
He gave us his word. He gave us his authority. He gave us his power. He already made the new world order. And now Lucifer, as he always does, wants to counterfeit it. He's going to show God that he too can make a new world order that he will be sitting on top of. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
If you read Genesis 11 and Genesis 10, that shows exactly what Satan's up to all over again.
Well, he wants to be like God, right? The new Amen. World order. I wrote a commentary today. I'm not going to have time to get to it, I don't think. Mike just pulled up on the screen. I'm not going to read it today, but I encourage all of you to read it. Maybe I'll take time to read it tomorrow.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Do you think there's much difference between Satan thinking he can make God's stuff that God does better and do a better job of it, and that therefore he deserves to be the supreme being? Do you think there's much difference between Satan having that attitude and doing that, and between us as humans trying to take what we think God's supposed to do and tell and try to tell him to do it?
It's the same spirit, right, Larry? It's the same spirit. I'm going to be like God. It's the exact same spirit. It's never changed. I'm not going to read this to you, although I encourage you to read this. Maybe, as I said, maybe I'll read it tomorrow. I was just blown away about Kamala Harris, Kamala, whatever they want to call her. Everything they're telling us about her is a lie. Everything they're telling us about her is a lie. Now, why? Hey, everything they told us about George Floyd was a lie. Why does the left operate on lies? Why can't they just be truthful and say, hey, we hate God, we hate those who love God, and we are going to overthrow everything? Why can't they just be truthful what they do? Why do they have to lie about everything they do? Global warming's a lie, transgenderism's a lie, homosexuality is a lie. Everything is a freaking lie on the left. And you know what is amazing? We don't oppose those lies. They want to cram those lies down our throat, and we won't even fight to have the truth taught in our schools. We won't even fight to have evolution not taught in our schools because it is a lie. But we let it go on. And they advance the kingdom of darkness through dishonesty. Lies. It's the only way they can operate. It's the only way they can win. They do. Truth is not a left-wing value. They do not care about truth. And we should, of all people, care about truth. It's the only thing that we stand on. And the Bible says truth has fallen in the street and it can't get up. Well, shouldn't we help it get up? Shouldn't we help? Why do we... Scroll down, Mike. Scroll down a little bit. I want to read one paragraph to you. Keep going. I'll tell you when. Okay, right there. Men are men and women are women. It's based on lying. I'm sorry. Men are men and women are women. There is no such thing as a transgender. It's a created status. Voodoo science has created a voodoo condition. If someone does not bring some sanity to the situation, we will soon run out of letters in the alphabet to describe the made-up genders promoted by the sexual deviance. See, that's the word. That is what the word is, you know, deviant. Deviant's not a bad word, folks. It's not a bad word. It's just a word. It means to veer from normal. Homosexual behavior is not normal. Deviant. Why can't we say that? Homosexual behavior is deviant. Why are we afraid to speak the truth? Pedophilia is not normal yet. Bestiality is not normal yet. Transgenderism is not normal. Why do they force us to say it is normal? Oh my goodness. It's untruthful. It's a lie. Sexual deviants are not normal. Why is that so hard for us to say? See, it's the lies. I don't want to read any more of it. I'll get rolling on it. That's what we're fighting. We're fighting lies everywhere we look. The devil comes as lies. He's a liar. There is no truth in him. He has infiltrated the church. We have Christian churches accepting BLM. We can't even recognize lies anymore. We accept lies. We promote lies. We celebrate lies. We honor lies. We coddle lies. You know I'm telling you the truth. Why? Because there's an unseen world, man. And it was here before we were. And they know how the game's played. They know how foolish we are. They know how they can control us with our emotions. They know how to get to us. And we are warned by Paul, that we are not to be ignorant of his devices, and we are. That's why this all matters to me, see? It all matters. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Oh, give me a break. Give me a break. He gave you a brain. 3 minutes, somebody wind me down.
Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, I think this is really good, Coach. Thank you. I'd like to say this might help tie some of this up. What God did in the covenant, in the creation, he made Adam and Eve. He made man and woman, okay, Coach? And then here he is, he's fellowshipping them with in Eden, and here comes the serpent. Here comes Lucifer into the picture.
Where did he come from, Randy? Where did he come from? Go ahead.
Yeah, you laid all this, Coach. Let me just sew up some of this. Hear this, everybody. What God did in this covenant, he's trying to bring judgment to this thing, to his picture. Okay, he had the gods, all the deities, the little gods in the Luciferian covenant, Coach. And this is going on. This is what we see. This is why it's null and void. Now he creates this new covenant, and he puts man and woman in it, and then he lures Lucifer in here, and he gets him to attach himself from that old covenant to this covenant. And what he does, he says, he commits sin with Adam and Eve, and God says, I got you. Now I can judge you. Now I can bring this thing to an end. And it took 4,000 years to get Jesus to the earth, Coach. This is how big and how hard this is. We got to see the big picture. But we're coming toward the end because God is bringing, it's coming down on his timetable. But this is what he did, Coach. That's what he did.
So, Randy, isn't it amazing? Maybe it was Brian that said it. What is the mantra of the New World Order? Order out of chaos. Isn't that what God already did? Isn't that Genesis 1? Isn't that what he did? And isn't what we see going on in the world today, nothing more than a counterfeit of Genesis 1?
Because Satan himself can create nothing, Coach.
Right. That's right.
God is the only creator. All he can do is pervert. And he wants the mindset of that spirit is to get us to believe the perversion, therefore then they can declare that they've created something.
Amen, man. Amen. Hey, Dale, they've created 23 new genders. Right?
They perverted two.
Yeah, well, they've created how many different races? I mean, they just look at what they've done, right? Order out of chaos. That was God's original plan. The world was bohu and tohu. It was void and without form. It was chaotic. And God said, hey, let there be light. Let's take this thing over. And boys and girls, let's create man in our own image and say, hey, bud, go in there, take it over, run it, be fruitful, multiply, and man, oh man, replenish the earth. God, there's so much we don't know. Bohu and tohu, order out of chaos. That was God's idea. See you tomorrow.